Can I have all the children up front? Good morning. How many of you would like to go camping and sleep in a tent all night? What are some of the things that you do when you go camping?
Cook marshmallows.
What else?
Cookies.
Cookies?
Hot dogs.
Swim in the lake?
Hot dogs.
Hot dogs? Yes. Okay. Sometimes we like to swim or hike or sit around the campfire and cook hot dogs or marshmallows. It's really fun to go camping, especially if we are with our friends and family. I'm getting ready to go camping, and I'm trying to get all my camping equipment prepared for the trip. Let's see what we have in here. Blake, do you want to help me? Oh, the flashlight. We need that so we don't get scared. Do you want to turn it on? Uh-oh, what's wrong with that?
I don't know. Let's look under the hood.
Oh, my goodness. We need batteries. Go ahead, Blake.
I have the batteries.
Luckily, we have our own batteries.
We have to have the batteries or we might as well not have brought the flashlight along. There we go. Now, there's something else that we need. Lacey, do you want to find something in there that we need? The bug candle, because we want to keep those pesky bugs away. What do we need for the bug candle?
The lid.
The lid? What else do we need? Go ahead.
The fire.
The fire? What do we have in there for fire? Do we have something? Yes. We need that for sure. We're going to have bugs after us all night. Okay. Without the matches, the candle would be dead too, wouldn't it? Just like the flashlight. You can blow it out. In addition to the camping gear, the tent, the food and the bug spray and clothing, I need the batteries to keep the flashlight alive and the matches to keep the candle alive. Food will make my body alive, but I need something to keep my soul alive. Does anyone know what I could have?
The Bible.
Right, the Bible. This is the Bible, and it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us to set our minds on the Spirit, and we will be made alive in our souls. If I didn't have the Bible, then I would be dead inside, just like the candle and the batteries there, and the flashlight. The things that we read in the Bible are things of the Spirit, and we need them wherever we are so that we might be alive inside as well as on the outside. Always read your Bible and you will find life. Life in its words that will keep you God close and give you peace even in the darkest of times. Let us pray. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the Bible. Help us to faithfully read our Bibles so that our souls will be alive in your Spirit. Amen. All right, we can go back to our seats. I got it.
A famous quote by William Penn that is on display in the Capitol building in Harrisburg reads, "Those who will not be governed by God will be ruled by tyrants." These words spoken almost 300 years ago are incredibly significant to the present world in which we live in. I heard a story on the radio this past week about a Marine who had been court-martialed for having a Bible verse on the screen of their computer. The man who told the story commented that it seems the world is becoming tolerant of everything except for the things of God. Jesus warned us of times like this in Matthew. He said, "Then you will be handed over to be prosecuted and be put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from their faith and will betray and hate each other." This verse kind of sounds like the world we're living in today. When you turn on the evening news, isn't it starting to get a little scary? We see images and videos of horrific acts being carried out by terrorist groups that seem to be growing by the minute. We hear of countries whose number one goal is to obtain nuclear weapons. Countries who cannot be trusted are dangerously close or have obtained weapons of mass destruction. And also the number of natural disasters seems to be skyrocketing. In 1970, the average count of natural disasters that was recorded was 78. By 2004, that average has grown to 348 recorded natural disasters. Between the years 1973 and 2008, there was an average of about 21 earthquakes of a magnitude of 3 or larger recorded in the U.S. per year. By 2009 to 2013, that number grew to 99. And in 2014, there were 659 recorded earthquakes of a magnitude 3 or larger. Across the globe, there's just been a great increase of chaos. Seems to be no human explanation. There is no doubt that we are living in a time that has many wondering what is next. And we automatically react to this with feelings of fear. Fear because we don't know what tomorrow holds for us. Or do we know? We may be shocked or alarmed or even frightened of the present world around us, but God is not. In fact, God predicted days like the ones we are living. Jesus tells us in the book of Matthew, "You will hear rumors of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains." And later on in Matthew, Jesus also says, "Now learn this from the fig tree. As soon as the twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door." Jesus is telling us here that although we may not know the exact hour or day of his return, we will be able to know the season. Just like we know when summer is just around the corner. He is telling us that there are many signs throughout the world that will make us question, are we in that season? Are we that generation? Is it near? Is it right at our door? Do these feelings fill us with feelings of anxiety and fear? Just wondering how long it will be until the news we are watching isn't in some Middle East country half a world away, but it's now in our own country, in our own backyards. I admit it would be much easier just to ignore all the chaos that seems to be escalating around the world, kind of sweep it under the rug, and focus only on things that do not make us upset. But as Christians, that is not what God has called us to do. We as the church must stand strong and courageous in the name of Christ and know what is looming on the horizon. I do believe that there are much harder times coming for Christians in this country. Our society is becoming more and more accepting and tolerant of what we call sin. We have blurred the lines of right and wrong. The line is no longer black and white. It is now becoming gray. And Christian views and morals are becoming old-fashioned, unpopular, and in some cases illegal. Which means, in the days to come, our faith will be put to the test. 76% of people in America claim to be Christians. I wonder, out of that 76%, how many would still claim to follow Christ if they had to lay down their life because of it? Like when two gunmen entered Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado, and murdered 14 students and teachers. One student, Cassie Bernal, age 17, was approached by one of the men. The man asked her if she believed in God. When Cassie said she did, the gunman took her life. Students that witnessed this said it was clear that she was killed because she believed in God. We're like the story of four Christian children in Iraq who were captured by ISIS militants and given the choice of converting to Islam or death. The children refused to convert. The Islamic militants gave them another chance, telling them to say the words that you will follow Muhammad and we will let you live. But the four children, all under the age of 15, would only say, "We love Jesus. We have always loved Jesus." Once again, the ISIS militants attempted to force the children to convert. Yet again, they refused. This time, the ISIS militants brutally took the lives of those four children. What would I do? I have asked myself this question. If that were me, or even worse, if that was my family and I, facing those same terrorists who asked us the same question, what would I do? It's not a pleasant thing to think about, but unfortunately, in these days, it is something that we need to think about. When we hear stories of persecution like this, it should rock us to the core. Not into fear, but into action. When I hear a story like that, it makes me wonder, are we doing all that we can? I'm not sure any of us here today can really understand what Christians over in the Middle East are going through right now. But I pray that if we do find out, we can have the kind of faith and courage that those four children had. Faith like Paul. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That's the kind of faith that we need to be praying for. This verse says so much in just a few words. Paul is saying that as Christians, when we live on this earth, we live for Christ. We have a life of purpose to serve Christ and bring others to Him. There is no greater purpose and nothing more fulfilling than to live for Christ. And the second part of that verse, to die is gain, means we have nothing to fear. So often I have heard people ask the question, why is God allowing these terrible things to happen to His people? In fact, I myself am one of those people. But if we think of Paul's words, to die is gain, we realize that this question we ask is a worldly view, a view that deceives us into putting far too much importance on this short life on earth instead of the blessings of eternity in heaven. So for a Christian, if the worst thing that can happen to us on this earth is to die, then we have everything to gain. That's what those four Iraqi children believed. What awesome faith. This is the kind of faith we all need to pray for in these days. Days in which we wonder and fear what's coming next. Days in which we wonder, are these the times foretold to us in prophecy thousands of years ago, unfolding before our eyes? I don't know where we are in God's timeline, when we should expect Christ to return. Only God knows. Jesus said, "No one knows about that day or hour, not the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Be on guard, be alert. While it is true we may not know the day or the hour, I think we can sure see some writings on the wall. But we know that if we have faith, we do not have to fear what may lie ahead. Instead, if we read, study, and understand God's word, we will know what is coming, and we will not be caught off guard, and we can stay alert. Revelations 1:3 says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. See, the importance of studying prophecy and discerning the times we are in is not to go around blowing a trumpet, claiming to know when that last day is. It is important because we live in a dead and dying world that needs to know Christ. A world that needs to know the truth about why things seem to be headed out of control. A world that needs to know that God is in control, no matter how bleak things look to us. God already has things all worked out. The battle's already won. The Reverend Billy Graham once said, "I have read the last page of the Bible. It's all going to turn out all right." His words tell us that all the chaos we see around us someday will end with the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is certainly nothing to fear. Yes, the road is going to get bumpy, but we can stand firm if we keep our faith. Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you shall have tribulations, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." So in the coming days, months, or years, if things seem to be closing in around us, and it feels like the world is against us, remember, Jesus said, "Take heart, have courage. We have nothing to fear because we have faith in what has been told to us. That these things must happen before the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God." Let us pray. Father God, we just pray that as we leave here today, that we do so with a renewed courage, that you have all things worked out, and that we have no need to fear the future, because you are already there. Amen.